Blessing. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse number 17. Just a few moments. We'll stand for the reading of this verse. But I do want to stop and say thank you to Pastor for allowing me to fill the pulpit for him this morning. I am thankful to be a part of Faith Baptist Church. I'm thankful that my family is in this church. Our family has been here for about 5 years, and this church has been a tremendous blessing to our family. I thank God for our church family. I thank God for the men that I'm allowed to serve with here on staff. Thank God for Brother Bragg, Brother Barajas, Brother Reardon, my friends. I thank God for Pastor. I thank God for him and his leadership. And I'm very thankful that the Lord has allowed our family to be here. And what a blessing. It's always exciting to come in Missions Conference Sunday and see the flags up, and Missions Conference next week. That'll be exciting. Now, if you found John chapter 5 and verse number 17, if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're just going to read one verse together. John chapter 5 and verse number 17. All right, let's go ahead and read this verse together, John 5:17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." This morning I want to preach a message entitled, Working with the Father. Working with the Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for His help this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for the chance to be in church this morning. Thank You for Faith Baptist Church. Thank You, God, for our pastor. Lord, I pray that You would help me. Lord, I pray for the words to say as I preach this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts and do a work in our lives. Lord, if there's someone here that came to church this morning and they're not saved, we ask for them to be saved today. We ask, God, that You would stir our hearts. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. And we invite You to work in our hearts during this service. We ask for Your blessing on the missions conference to come. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. John chapter 5, in this chapter, a great miracle had taken place, and an exciting miracle. There was a man who had been lame for 38 years waiting to be healed, and finally, this man that was lame, Jesus came by and healed this man. And when this happened, the Pharisees were very upset because Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath day. And, you know, that was one of their big complaints about Christ, was that He did the work of the ministry on the Sabbath day. And so they went to Jesus and they confronted Him. And what is Jesus going to say to these Pharisees? Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, "My Father is a worker. My Father is busy. My Father is doing something." And Jesus told the Pharisees, "I'm going to work as well." I remember when I was in high school, I got a job at the Aldi warehouse in Dwight, grew up in Dwight. And I remember starting out in Aldi as a lumper, unloading trailers in the morning. And I know that you hear that word lumper, and based on that description, it doesn't sound like a very glamorous job. And it's not a very glamorous job. Amen. But I remember as a lumper waking up early in the morning and going to work, having some work to do, going over early to the warehouse. I appreciate my parents are here this morning. The girls spent the night at their house last night and then came in with them. And I can remember as a teenager, I got up early. I was getting ready to work. I was getting ready to go to work. I was going to the Aldi warehouse. Dad would get up early and he would go to the power plant. And my dad this October has been 33 years working at the power plant. Thank God for my dad and hard work that he's done. But Dad would go one way and do his work, and I would go the other way and do my work. He was going to the power plant. I was going to the warehouse. He was going to Braidwood. I was going just outside of Dwight. He was going to fix things. I was going to unload trailers. And we were both going to work, but we were not working together. And friends, I want to say this. In the Christian life, there's a danger that you and I face. And it is that we know that the Heavenly Father is a worker. We serve a God that works. But if we're not careful, every day the Father will be working and He'll be doing work. And every day I'm looking out at some hard-working people here this morning. But you know, one of the dangers of the Christian life is that the Father is working and we're working, but yet we're not working together. And I want to submit to you this morning that the Father works and we are supposed to work, but I'm so excited today the Father wants to work with us. We're invited to work with the Father. "Hey, Jesus, why are you working on the Sabbath day? Don't you know that's wrong? What are you doing? Mr. Pharisee, the Father's working and I'm working and we're working together." That's what Jesus said. So this morning we're going to look at three truths as we consider the subject working with the Father. Number one, I want us to consider the work of the Father. The work of the Father. John 5 and verse 17, Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto." The word "hitherto" means up until this point. Jesus is saying, "Mr. Pharisee, up until this point in time, the Heavenly Father has been working." And I want to say this about God. God is not a God that is distant. God is not a God that is lazy. God is not the old man upstairs. God is a working God. We see that all throughout the Bible. And Jesus said, if the Heavenly Father is going to be busy, I'm going to be busy. If the Heavenly Father is going to be working, I'm going to be working. If the Heavenly Father is going to be getting things done, then I'm going to be getting some things done. The Bible describes God as a God of work. Six times in the Bible, we see the words, the works of God. Eight times in the Bible, we see the words, the works of the Lord. In Psalm 66 and verse number 5, the Bible says, come and see the works of God. We are commanded to see with our very eyes the work of God. If you like to wake up early in the morning and you like to go outside and see the sunrise, isn't it wonderful that every day with our own eyes we can see the works of God? Because it's God that's causing that to happen. Every evening when the sun sets and the stars come out and the moon is shining, hey, there's God that's doing that. We can see the works of God. The Bible says, see the work of God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:13, consider the work of God. So God says, I want you to see my work and I want you to consider my work. I want you to think about it. Hey, when we see that sunrise, when we see that beautiful sunrise and we're like, wow, that's amazing. The Bible says we should think about the God behind the sunrise. There's a God that's causing that to happen. When we see the sunset and we see the colors change across the horizon and we think, wow, that's beautiful. That's amazing. There's a God behind every sunset. Think about the work of God. When you see the sun and the moon and the stars, remember, there's a God that created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The Bible says, see the works of God, consider the works of God. And the Bible also says to declare, to talk about the work of God. In Psalm 64 and verse number 9, it says, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. Hey, our God is a God of work, and we are to talk about the work that God has done. That was about 8 days ago. We were getting ready for the bus rally on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And I came out of the school building and there was a man in the parking lot and he was videoing himself with his phone, taking some videos. My name was John. And I went over and started talking to him. And nobody had told John that the Bears no longer have their training camp here. So he's making these videos. He's like, I'm in Bourbonnais, Illinois. You know, he's doing this video. And he's like, I'm in the home of the Bears training camp. And he was so excited. And I started talking with him. And sure enough, you know, we got that water tower right there. Home of the Chicago Bears. And I started talking with John. And I said, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm here on business from out of town. But I know this is where the Bears have training camp. So I told him the sad news. You know, actually, most of you are probably not sad about it, all right? Less traffic and less, but I said the Bears don't have training camp here anymore. And we started talking, but it was a very friendly guy, a very talkative guy. And he asked me this question. He said, Alan, how is it that you ended up working at the church? How is it that you ended up serving as an assistant pastor? What happened in your life that caused you to come to church and to stay in church and to serve in the church? And oh, it was so refreshing because I was able to start to talk to John about the wonderful work of God in my life. I said, John, when I was 13 years old, came to a camp meeting, heard some preaching, and some preachers were preaching, and I heard a story that I had heard my whole life, the story that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And I told John, as a 13-year-old, I realized that Christ had not only died for the sins of the world, but that he had died for my sins. And I heard the preaching that without Christ, without salvation, the world will be lost and go into hell. And I said, John, I realize it's not just the world. It's for Alan Miller. If I die without Christ, I'd be lost forever and I'd end up in hell. And I told John that I heard the story that Christ had died for our sins and was buried in the tomb. But because he was the Son of God, because he is the Savior, he rose up from the dead and was resurrected and is alive forevermore. And I said, John, I found out that Jesus not only rose for the world, but he rose for me, and that salvation was for me, and that I could be saved if I would trust in Christ. And as a 13-year-old, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And I'll tell you what, hey, somebody may say that God is dead, and somebody may say that God's not real. God's not dead. God is alive. God has worked in our lives. Come and see the work of God. Declare the work of God. Hey, when somebody asks you about Christ or asks you about your faith, don't be ashamed of God. If somebody says, hey, where do you go on Sunday? All dressed up, tell them, I go to Faith Baptist Church. Why do you go there? Because there was a day when I found Christ and he saved me. We need to declare the work of God. Man, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. What a blessing. And I'll tell you what, when you start sharing your testimony with somebody and you start getting reminded that you were a sinner lost on your way to hell and God in his love saved you, hey, you know what? It's a chance for them to hear the gospel, but it's a chance to be reminded of the work of God. Declare the work of God. Don't be ashamed of God. God says every day, see the work of God. Consider the work of God. Declare the work of God. God is a God of work. God is a God of work. As we think about the Father, we understand that the work of God is so great and so wonderful that really His work is beyond our comprehension. In Ecclesiastes 8:17, it says, "Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it, he shall not find it. Yea, further, though wise men think to know it, he shall not be able to find it out." God does so many things and has done so many things. We know that God is at work, and we know that He's working, but we can't fully comprehend the work of God. If we think about the work of God in the past work of the Father is seen in creation. Turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 in your Bible, and we'll look at a few verses here. And we're considering the fact that God is a worker. Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto." My Father worketh hitherto. Now, there are several words that signify work in Genesis chapter 1. Now, when I pause, I want you to fill in the words for me, okay? Genesis chapter 1, and let's start in verse number 1. When I pause, you fill in the next word. "In the beginning, God, the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God upon the face of the waters. And God, let there be light, and there was light." So the Bible says that God created. The Bible says that God moved. The Bible says that God said. And all throughout this chapter, there are more words that signify the work of God, this work that God has done. Hey, God is working. God is not lazy. God is not idle. God is the sovereign creator of all. God is a worker. I want you to look at verse number 10 with me in Genesis chapter 1 and fill in the blank for me. Genesis 1, verse number 10. "And God, the dry land, earth." God called. He gave names to His creation. Look at verse number 17. "And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." God set the sun, moon, and stars in place. And then look at verse number 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image." All of these words signifying the work of God. Creation is the work of God. Creation is God. Was God at work? Everything that we see in nature was created by God. So we see the past work of the Father in creation. And also I want to say this, there's a present work of the Father. Jesus told the Pharisees, "My Father has been working and my Father is working." And honestly, there's many things that the Heavenly Father is doing right now as work that He is doing. One of those things that the Father is doing is hearing and answering prayer. That's one of the things that the Father is doing. Jesus taught His disciples to pray in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 2. "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Every single day, God hears the prayers of every believer. Right now, we come to church. There's a lot of different prayer requests on our hearts. I guarantee you there was different prayers that you prayed this morning, different prayers that I prayed this morning. But I promise you this, we have a Heavenly Father who is at work today, and He hears every single prayer that we pray. I don't know if you've ever had your kids come up to you, and you've had more than one kid talking at once. Sometimes my girls do that. I'll have one girl talking to me, I'm zeroed in, I'm focusing, and then another girl will come up and start talking. And, you may be able to understand what both of them are saying simultaneously. I have to stop and be like, "Hey, whoa, wait, Kennedy, Finley, stop. Okay, Finley was talking, so Kennedy, you're going to have to wait. And when Finley's done talking, then you can talk to me." But folks, isn't it amazing that God doesn't have to do that? That's the work of God. God can hear everybody's prayers at the same time. And I want to remind us this morning that we have a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Now, the Sunday school teachers, I was just waiting for somebody to ask me today, because behind my couch today, there's a 70-inch screen and there's a 55-inch screen in my office. And I was just waiting. I was just waiting for questions about that. Like, "Brother Allen, come on now. Is that for your office? What in the world?" And but about in the month of April this year, Pastor allowed Abby and I to go to a children's workers meeting. And Brother Ed Dunlap, an evangelist, was up preaching. And as he was preaching to the children, he used a screen for illustrations. And we were driving back from that conference. He said a lot of helpful things. And I told Abby, "Boy, it'd be wonderful if we had a screen for a junior church. We could put illustrations on there. We could put things on there." And Abby said, well, how much does a screen like that cost? I said, I don't know, but we can pray about it. And we started asking God. And folks, God hears and answers prayer. It was about 4 weeks ago, somebody came up to me in the church and handed me a check and said, hey, Brother Allen, I had not talked to anybody about this that I was praying about except Abby and Pastor. And this person in the church came up to me and said, hey, Brother Allen, God laid this on my heart. This is a check for children's ministry. And I looked at the check and I remembered what we were praying for. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. God hears and answers prayer. Hey, you may feel like today God's not hearing your prayers. You may feel like today God's not listening to you. But the Bible says that God is a God of work. He hears and he answers prayer. And that, and the screen, Lord willing, we're going to use that in children's church. And that was just simply provided by the Lord. That was provided by the Lord. Hey, that's God. Hey, so we see the work of the Father in past in creation. We see the present work of the Father in hearing and answering prayer. And then number two, I want us to look at our work. So first, number one is the work of the Father. Number two is our work. In John 5, in verse number 17, Jesus simply said, I work. I work. Jesus is an excellent example to us in the area of work. Now, in the context of John chapter 5, Jesus was talking about a spiritual work. And we're going to look at that in a moment. But I want us to remember that in the normal way that we think of work, when it came to regular daily work, Jesus could say, I work. He was a worker. As far as we know, Jesus was trained in an apprenticeship with Joseph as a carpenter. In Matthew 13 and verse number 35, the people said, is not this the carpenter's son? I appreciate the men who have come in and have worked on the school this year, who worked on the church building last year and the remodel in here. And being around those men who did the construction work and who were working on the remodel, that's hard work. Tearing stuff out, putting stuff in, building. That's hard work. And I want to say this, as Jesus was probably trained in an apprenticeship as a carpenter, in his day, it was hard work. It was very hard work because there was no power tools. Can you imagine building a building? Building a building, building a home, okay? Building something and cutting all of the wood by hand? I can't imagine that. Can you imagine building a piece of furniture with all hand tools? When Jesus said, I work, he wasn't kidding. Jesus was a worker. Jesus knew how to work. And I want to remind us that every Christian should be able to say with Christ, I work. I work. As I look out this morning, I see a lot of men who get up early in the morning. You'll go to bed tonight, you'll get up early in the morning. Some men here drive a semi, get up very early and work hard to provide for your family. I see men who maybe drive a truck, men who work in factories, men who work in offices, men who work in sales, men who work outdoors, men who are in construction and many different kinds of work. And I want to say this, our work and how we work is very important to God. And men who are working hard day after day, day after day, your family is depending on you. Your family is counting on you. And we need to keep up the good work. We need to stay after it. Every Christian ought to be able to say with Christ, I work. Every Christian should be able to say that. I work. Today, as I look out in the auditorium, I see ladies who work. And I want to say this about ladies who work day after day after day. Ladies, if you work inside the home, and you do not work outside the home, you are not a second-class citizen with God. Man, what a wonderful thing for a lot of ladies here. Work inside the home. Care for the children. Care for the home. Take care of the details of the home. Ladies, that's a very important work. That's a very needed work. That's a very helpful work. Your family needs that work. By the way, ladies that work inside the home and work outside the home, you're not a second-class citizen with God either. If that's what you and your husband, your family, if that is the need. But hey, whatever the work is, whatever the scope of the work, our work is important with God. Hey, the Father works and we're supposed to work. Boy, recently there's been a lot of incentives for people not to work in our country. And that's a shame. The Bible teaches that we're supposed to work, that we're supposed to do our best. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And friends, I want to remind you today, there ought to be a difference in the work of a Christian and the work of somebody that was lost. I guarantee you that as Jesus did the work of the carpenter and he cut down those trees and he cut that wood and he did all that by hand, I guarantee you as people saw the work of Christ, they said there's something different about this work. I believe based on the scriptures, as Jesus being the sinless Son of God, I don't believe that Jesus was late for work. I believe he was on time. I believe that Jesus had respect for his co-workers and that he treated people right and he worked hard and he got the job done and he did his best. Why? Because he's the Savior and he had a tremendous work ethic. And I'll say this, Christians, as we work, as we go about our daily work, men, as we work, ladies, as you work, young people, as you work in school, there ought to be a difference in the work of a believer than the work of a lost person. Not because we're better than anybody, but because we have someone living inside of us. The scripture says work. Young people, this year in work, let me encourage you, as you work in school, do your schoolwork in a way that will please God. Hey, this year, as you're working, teenager, as you work at school, as you work on the job, maybe teenager, you got a part-time job and you're mowing some lawns or you're working at a restaurant or you're doing some different things. Work in a way that pleases God. Remember that Jesus said, I work. And there was a difference in his work. Moms and dads who are working, moms and dads who are busy, keep up the good work. I thought of this. If a lady works outside the home, in addition to working inside the home, husbands, you know what that means? That means that your wife is going to need more help inside the home. Abby started teaching this year in the school again, teaching kindergarten. And so she's coming into the school. I'm so thankful she has that opportunity to do that. She loves that Monday through Thursday. But you know what she asked me? She said, Alan, are you going to help me inside the home? And husbands, let me say this. I know I'm not going to get any amens right here, so I'm going to run down there and say amen a couple of times. But hey, if your wife is working outside the home, she's going to need some help with the dishes. If your wife is working outside the home, she's going to need some help vacuuming. If your wife is going to work outside the home, she's going to need some help with the ironing. I'm going to tell you what, men, we ought to be able to help, and we ought to be able to work, and we ought to be able to wash a few dishes and vacuum. Amen, Brother Allen! All right. Hey, listen, I'm serious. What kind of a marriage are we presenting in front of our children? What kind of a home are we presenting in front of our children? There ought to be this camaraderie of, hey, we're working together. We're in this together. We're helping each other. We're in this together. We're going to help each other. We're going to do it. Why? Because God says we're supposed to be a people of work. It ought to be a teamwork. And husbands, I'm preaching to myself right now, all right? So I am definitely preaching to Alan Miller right now. But hey, you know what? Our wife has to go around and pick up the home. See, they have to pick up after the kids. Men, our wives shouldn't have to pick up after us. We ought to put stuff away. We get something out, we ought to put it away. We ought to be orderly. And hey, and if our wife is working, we need to help work. We need to help with the work. Why? Because work is important with God. There ought to be camaraderie and teamwork and togetherness in the home. It's so important. Jesus said, hey, Mr. Pharisee, guess what? The Father's working right now, and I'm working too. He works, and I work. And here's the last point, okay? God is a God of work. Christians are supposed to be a people of work, but there are some things where the Father wants to work with us. I mentioned my dad going to the power plant. He would go to the power plant. I would go to the warehouse. We're going to different places. We're working in different areas. We're working on different jobs. But every once in a while, my dad would say, Alan, I've got a project that we need to do together. And I can think back on a lot of projects, putting the roof on the garage, the attic, the chimney in the attic. I can think about a lot of projects right now, some furniture that we built, that it was a project where I was working with my father. And what he wanted to get done, I wanted to get done. And what his priority was became my priority. It wasn't just dad's over here, Alan's over here. No, there was times where the father wanted to work together with me. And I'm going to tell you right now, based on the word of God, we work and the Father works. But today, the Father wants to work with us. And there's some things that God wants to accomplish in the world. And we need to work with the Father. We need to work with the Father. He wants to work with us. What are some things that the Father wants to accomplish today? Turn to Matthew 28 and verse number 19 in your Bible. The marching orders of the church. The Great Commission. The great mission of the church today. The mission of the local New Testament church. Your mission, my mission, this church's mission, the mission that our pastor has been leading this church on every year that he's been here. Matthew 28 and verse number 19. Let's read verses 19 and 20 together. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know what the Father says in this verse right here? He says, this is a work that you and I need to do together. We need to work with the Father. The Great Commission. We come in here the Sunday before missions conference and we see these flags and we think about these families that are going all over the world to preach the gospel and start churches. Now I want to say this, in the area of missions today, God wants us to work with Him. In the area of missions, it's a chance to work with the Father. And I want to say this morning, church, He may want you to go. There may be somebody sitting here today who came into church, and God may want to call you this year to be a missionary to go to another country and preach the gospel to the lost. Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:8, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Let me encourage you this morning to surrender your heart to the Father and say, Father, we're coming up on missions conference. Heavenly Father, whatever you want from me this year, I'm yours. Heavenly Father, I'm surrendered. Heavenly Father, I'm available. Heavenly Father, I'm here. I want to say this morning. God is still calling and God is still equipping and God is still sending missionaries around the world. And He may want to call someone in our church. And when missionaries go to the foreign field and they begin to preach the gospel and they begin to start a church and a group of people begins to come together and they get saved and they get baptized, they are able to do that because those missionaries are working with the Father. The Father is helping them. I read Brother Ben Angel's prayer letter a couple of months ago, and I saw the picture of his men signing the charter in his church, signing their church charter, and starting and their church. And I began to think about our missionaries on the foreign field who are doing a work. They're working with the Father. And I thought how exciting it is that churches like our church, like Faith Baptist Church, where we sing the songs and we pray and we preach the gospel and we see people saved. That's happening all over the world because there were some people who were willing to work with the Father. Hey, God may want us to go. God does want us to pray. If God doesn't call us to be full-time missionaries on the foreign field, we all can pray for our missionaries. Hey, guess what? Next week, the missionaries that come, they're going to give us prayer cards. And folks, I want to say this. God wants us to pray for our missionaries. God wants us to seek His face and ask for blessings and help for the missionaries. Hey, the prayer cards that we're going to get next week from these missionaries, and we're going to be reminded and we're going to be challenged that there's a work that we can do. We can work with the Father. Hey, we need to be praying for the missionaries. We need to be asking. When we get on our knees and we begin to seek the Lord and ask God to help our missionaries, Lord, would you be with the Stensis family? Would you help them? Would you put a hedge of protection around them? Would you use them today? As we begin to pray, the Father begins to work and He begins to help the Stensis family. And guess what? It's called working with the Father. Man, He may want us to go. He does want us to pray. And I want to say this. The Father wants us to give. We're going to hear preaching on a very exciting topic, faith, promise, missions. And Pastor's preaching on that tonight. And I'm excited. First century missions giving. What a blessing. What a good message for us to hear. And I want to say this, folks. It takes money for missionaries to go overseas and to build a building or rent a space. It takes money for those missionaries to do the work of missions. And we have an opportunity to give to faith, promise, missions. Now I want to say this. The scripture says that the tithe is the Lord's. The first 10% of what we have as income, the scripture teaches that it belongs to God. And it's a joy to give back to God. It's a joy to give the Lord what's rightfully His. But at our church, from the scriptures, we teach faith. Pastor teaches faith, promise, missions, giving, which is beyond the tithe. It's an offering beyond the tithe. And the church takes that money and sends it all over the world to our missionaries. And I want to remind us today, hey, church family, you know, the Sunday before missions conference, this is a great Sunday for us to say, Lord, what do you want me to do this year in the area of missions giving? That's a wonderful thing. Say, God, what do you want? And guess what? It's faith promise. He lays an amount on our heart, and we give that amount each week, and we trust the Lord to provide it. What an opportunity. Hey, guess what? When you do that, you're working with the Father. Because in the Bible, God is for that. God teaches that all throughout the Scriptures. Hey, we can work with the Father in the area of missions, and I want to say this, we also can work with the Father in the area of soul winning. And I'll say this and then I'll close. In John 6 and verse number 44, the Bible says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." We're not going to read the verses, but in this chapter that we were looking at, in John chapter 5, Jesus said several times that he was doing the work personally that the Father had sent him to do. I'll read one verse, John 5 and verse number 36. He said, "For the works which the Father hath given to me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Jesus was doing the work of the Father. And I want to challenge you with this thought, and we'll be done. It is the privilege, and it is the duty, and it is the responsibility of every Christian to tell others about Christ. I have a job today. Brother Allen has a job today. You know what one of my jobs is? Is to tell others about Christ. It's not my job because I'm the bus director. It's not my job because I'm on staff at the church. That's my job. Are you ready? Because I'm a Christian. There's somebody that God wants me to tell about Christ. And I guarantee you, there's somebody that God wants you to tell about Christ. I want to ask you this question. I want you to think about it. And don't give me an answer out loud, but just consider it. Have you ever taken the Bible or New Testament and told someone else how to get saved? Has that ever happened in your life? I want to challenge you. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you, learn how to do that. You know why? When we do that, we're doing the work of the Father. Have you ever shown someone how to get saved and saw them accept Christ by faith and seen somebody else come to Christ because of your witness? Hey, the next 4 weeks, we're having a push here at the church. You know what the push is? To work with the Father. There's somebody that you can tell about Christ. I guarantee you, you have a neighbor, a friend, a brother, a sister, a co-worker, somebody that lives close by, somebody who's not in church or who's not saved. And we need to do something to reach them with the gospel. The Father is willing to work with us. The question is this: are we willing to work with the Father? Man, I look out and I am very thankful for our church family. You are hardworking people. I love this church. And there's hardworking people here. And the Father is a hardworking God. He works and we work. But I just want to remind you, friends, we are supposed to work with the Father. In the area of missions, in the area of soul winning, let's work with the Father and see what the Father can do through us. That's our message today. Let's have heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I appreciate your attentiveness this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, you may be here today and you're not saved. If you're not saved today, I want to encourage you to get saved and trust Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you are saved, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you're saved and you know it. I want to encourage you to raise your hand right now. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. Please raise your hand if you're saved and you know it. I see those hands. You can put your hands down. The Scripture teaches that once we're saved forever. We only have to be saved one time. Maybe there's someone here who's not saved. Maybe there's someone here who has never accepted Christ as their Savior. And if you're here today, I'd like to pray for you. If there is anyone here who has not accepted Christ, would you please raise your hand as a testimony of that? No one's looking around, but I'd like to pray for you. If you're like that this morning and you say, "Brother Allen, I'm not sure that I'm saved," would you please raise your hand if you're not sure that you're saved? Maybe in the message this morning, God tugged at your heart about this thing of working with the Father. And I know that you folks work hard, and boy, it's so easy for us to get very wrapped up in our work, and maybe in some ways, God spoke to your heart about the Father's work. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, if God spoke to your heart in some way this morning, would you raise your hand, signify, "Brother Allen, at some point, God spoke to my heart. God spoke to me about missions. He spoke to me about soul winning. He did something." I see those hands. You can put your hands down. In just a moment, the piano is going to play. If you need to get baptized this morning, I encourage you to come forward and take care of that. Follow the Lord and believers' baptism. If you need to join the church today, I just want to encourage you, if you would like to join the church, come forward and take care of that. If God spoke to your heart, the invitation will be open. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your word. God, I pray that we would work together with you over these next 4 weeks and the weeks to come. Lord, we love you. As the piano plays, we can all stand to our feet, and the altar is open. If you'd like to come, please come. The altar is open. How about it today? Working with the Father.